Yo, what's up, Street Talk, Street God, Street Vlogs, Eric Kim in the house. Alright, some thoughts. Cars as concept pieces, art objects. So, the general idea is, just went to the Peterson Automotive Museum yesterday, was in. Loved it. The really interesting thought I had was, essentially, my big takeaway point is, yeah, like, cars are essentially art objects. Like art objects, concept pieces, etc. Wabi-sabi, patina, there's a dude who did some sort of, like, crystallization of the old Porsches or something like that. I thought it was super cool, made out plaster. And the funny thing about these cars is that, like, when the cars are sedentary, just sitting there, not moving or doing much, they're almost like a little bit useless, insofar much as the fact that, like, ain't being utilized. But then, you know, we could still appreciate it from a sculptural standpoint. But actually, truth be told, I mean, we like cars as art objects, but even more so interesting than thinking about cars as art objects or sculptures, design concepts, like, doesn't it make more sense for us to, like, better appreciate the human body, etc.? I mean, I had some funny terrible thoughts back in Providence, Rhode Island days, where I was like, you're allowed to drop top down in your convertible, sports car, whatever car you have, and be loud in your room, whatever. Like, but you're not allowed to be real life loud in real life public, or you're not allowed to be, like, topless without a shirt off in real life public. It's kind of a little bizarre town for me. So the first thing I find with cars, which is interesting, is I just find Porsches boring. I mean, like, all of them, even the old ones, are super boring. 911, GT3, yeah, Porsches are boring. I don't like them. Apparently, like, a super super rich dude who's, like, richer than God, apparently he just drives a BMW 740 or a 7 series something. So maybe that, if you're super super rich, maybe that's the best car to have. I guess the museum don't have Lambos, which was slightly disappointing. I mean, I think where Lamborghini has done a pretty good job, I actually saw a Huracan, Spider drop top thing yesterday, locally. And actually, I thought it looked super cool. The proportions look great. The back end looked great. I'm a big fan. But once again, it's like, you want to buy the Lambo, spend like $30,000 on oil changes and a litany of headaches and insurance, whatever's. Or do you just want to transform your body to look like the Lambo and your attitude to be the Lambo? And let's not forget that the Lamborghini, what was his name? Ferruccio Lamborghini, was just a dude who essentially sold tractors, right? So it's like, when people... So, like, my personal thought is... Uh-oh, this guy's going to go first. I'll stay here. Maybe my personal thought then is... Don't look at the car, look at the founder who created... Oh, so anyways, when people want Lamborghinis, they essentially want to be rappers. They want to be... I realized the only reason I really want a Lamborghini, or wanted a Lamborghini in the past, is I want to be Kanye West, right? But then again, now I don't want to be Kanye West because... What is that? 5'7"? 5'7½? Let's say he's 5'8". Even that's pretty short, right? Realistically, he might be 5'6", 5'6½, whatever's. Small man syndrome, I think, is a real deal. Is that, like, there's like a, okay, I have a heuristic. There's an inverse proportion between a man's height and the size of his vehicle. Short guys tend to drive, like, big ass trucks or muscle cars or whatevs, and get lifted. Unfortunately, there's no knee extension surgeries yet. I don't know, maybe in Korea. But so if you're born tall, consider yourself blessed. And then, no, there's no such thing as ectomorph and skinny, genetics. I'm like, there's only two types of bodybuilders out there. Bodybuilders who are really, really good at taking steroids, and other bodybuilders who aren't good at taking steroids. When people are like, oh, he has good genetics, it's nonsense. Even when people say, oh, ectomorph, mesomorph, blah, 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 I'm like, yo, that's like low key. You know when they used to measure your cranium thing, right? And they said, oh, you know, essentially a low key way of being racist towards African American people or people from Africa. Yeah, kind of same thing. Yeah, thinking about your country of origin. Actually, it's interesting too, because most African American people in America, you could definitely see they got some sort of Creole in them, or like, definitely like mixed blood with the, you know, traditional colonial settlers. Because you go, if you go to Africa, right, like Ethiopia, etc., yeah, people look very different, right? But ultimately, we's all American, and so I think all these race stuff is, my thought is like all these like race tension stuff, it's essentially a media play for the media companies to make more money, right? Or people who just kind of like miserable, they use writing and TV media as platforms to just air their frustrations. I would actually say a more effective thing that we could, a more productive, quote-unquote productive thing we could do in America at least is, like, I don't know, just think of yourself like the Winter Soldier, the Soldier, Captain America, where essentially like, go to defense.gov, the DoD website. Essentially, America is only scared of China and scared of nobody else. Even America's not like really that scared, because like even China and America were kind of frenemies. They're just kind of like a fake enemy. But alas, I don't know, I think maybe all of us Americans, we should just treat ourselves like soldiers or warriors, or give yourself your own Delta Force training or Ranger training. Apparently, the guys I met back at the park in Providence days in the military, I was like, who's actually really the toughest peoples? And he said Delta Force, so I'll just take his word for it. He's like, I'm like, even more than Navy SEALs? Yeah, Delta Force. Yeah, that, maybe Rangers, but Delta Force on top. There's even something else, like Sin Pare, S-I-N-E, period, like, without equal. I think, is that the Delta Force thing? But anyways, yeah, so I mean, like, actually, even the funniest thing, too, is, like, out of all the inspiration in the gym, two inspirational thoughts I have about cars, the tireless or treadless design, so you could just make a tire wheels without air, which was super cool. Deconstructed Tesla, the Tesla exhibit was actually my favorite. Sen loved it too, super inspiring. I saw the Cybertruck in real life, it's like pretty jaw-dropping. It was like bye, like seeing it in stainless steel is so gangster. Anyone who hates on Elon Musk and Tesla, I think they're just salty because they wish they were Elon Musk. But actually, read the Elon Musk biography, and you're gonna find out that you don't actually want to be Elon Musk. Yeah, you don't want to be him. But I think it is a wise idea that we could filch or borrow or steal some sort of innovative techniques and approaches to make things better. I also saw this, I guess, highly modified Porsche that was a pink rims. It actually looked super cool. I also had this turbo thought too. It's like, maybe the best rim color that nobody's yet designed is like emerald green rims. I haven't actually seen that. I'm like, well, that would actually look pretty cool. Like, I have this like emerald green linen tank top that's like green mixed with blue, and the color is actually quite beautiful. Yeah, so check out the Peterson Automotive Museum. Even the Ferraris, it's funny, I've never really been a big Ferrari fan. It's kind of boring, right? I think Lambos look way cooler. Fortunately, I'm like so disappointed. There's like no Lamborghini Countach. I'm like, you ain't finna make the Countach. There's also this like hidden bias or snobbery in the, I guess, the elite car world, where it's like Lambos are seen with disdain. It's like, here, I drive Ferrari. And prancing horses for losers, three-dimensional loser, you're a loser, ambi dimension. Shout out to Charlie Kirk. But yeah, essentially If actually, in fact, the real jaw-dropping design was like from the 1920s, the coach building, like the OG, was it the Bentley? OG Bentleys. Even seeing some of the really, really old school Rolls Royce, they're like huge, like five times the size of my Prius. Very inspiring. Or even seeing the steam wagon locomotive cars from the 1880s on display was pretty cool. Seeing the OG Batman Batmobile was pretty cool. Even the Batman Tumbler bike was pretty cool. The Christopher Nolan Batman with the Batman car that looks like essentially a armored vehicle kind of makes them look. Actually, do you remember that scene when the old school Batman, where he pushes the button and armors up the Batmobile? So we go that, like, I'm gonna create an armored Prius, just put the truck bed lining all around the car. Prius truck. And actually, it's funny because, like, seeing all those cars jam-packed in that small space, and I'm like, by seeing all the cars in the museum, witness real life, it almost feels like I own all of it, so therefore I don't need to buy it no more. And once again, you know, like, living in LA, I really like wide body cars close to the floor. Like, you know, the reason why I like Lamborghini design so much is I think the back end looks super cool and super wide and low to the ground. But ultimately, even living in LA, you don't want a wide car because good luck parking that in your tiny ass parking spots. So having a skinnier, thinner car makes more sense. And also, like, living here in LA, technically I have the money, right? Like, buy all the Tesla plaids that I want, Tesla Model X, Tesla Model S plaid, but still, like, having to finesse that into a tight parking spot is no bueno. And I mean, you got like a Tesla Model 3. I mean, that car is cool too. But then also the problem is you live a lot of these apartments, they don't have these charging ports, right? So it's like, you're going to have to fucking drive an hour in LA traffic to find a supercharger. Not fun. And I've been driving this Prius for like a whole month without having to refill, and just went to Arco. Filled a whole tank for like $40. Took me like 10 seconds, right? In and out. And then, you know, granted gas and gasoline is bad for the planet and pollution, but in terms of convenience is better. Maybe like even the best car to have in LA, or maybe in general, is probably like white Prius plug prime plug-in, because sometimes you get those free charging ports where you could charge like what, but those things are also a scam too, right? Because like you charge for an hour and it gives you what, like 5 miles of range. But then I would just say, from a pragmatic perspective, the good thing with the plug-in primes is that like a lot of these parking spots is just EV only, and therefore as a consequence the upside is you could just park your car there, right? Especially when parking in there. And also, the good thing with the Prius is like, it's like nice and skinny, so you could park that anywhere. And these sort of wide body cars are bad. And also to me, like, for me pragmatically, I'm like, does it make more sense for you to just like get super duper jacked and swole and wide shoulders in real life? Seems like a better idea. What else? Yeah, and I also think that the reason I like German cars is just too much based on iteration, not like wiping the slate clean. And this is where I think Elon Musk, Franz von Helsman, whatever his name is so great, is that like wiping the slate clean and just creating super duper carte blanche and radical from scratch. Like, even a thought in today's world, right? If you could just delete all the past designs and just create a totally brand new design straight from scratch, like, how would it look like and what would it look like, rather than just thinking by analogy? That's also another good thought, is like just first principles thinking, is just like, rather than think about like what other people have done in the past, better to think and consider, if I could create a totally brand new carte blanche car today, what would it look like and what's the point of it, etc. Even like people treat cars like clothes and shoes, they just do it for the fashion. But even keeping a white car clean in LA, I'll tell you guys, is like a full effing time job. Don't get a black car, just wear black clothes, easy, right? Just you want to murder your car out? Nah, don't murder your car out. Murder out your mind. Murder out your mind. Yeah, and I think in terms of things to buy, yeah, like the Rogue Fitness, the roguefitness.com. Get the 400-pound strongman sandbag. It's pretty fun. I found that doing it in a parking lot is not very fun because, I mean, it's just unhygienic, I guess. And then shout out to my friend Tim. His novel idea, just say, oh, just go to the park and steal the sand from the park. I'm like, that's a great idea. So I did that today. Yeah, way more fun. And then actually the good thing about doing sandbag training in the sand, in the playground, is that you could just put in as much sand or take out as much sand as you want. And then when you're picking it up, you could more easily stick your hands underneath and squat down and get up. And then the thought too I had was, every lift is different, which means that like, because the surface is uneven and also the amount of sand you put in, and then like you can't really even measure it, right? And actually, so I did some like pseudoscientific testing. So I filled the Rogue sandbag, the 400 pounder, with just normal sand, and it looks like it's more like 350 pounds, not 400 pounds. But then it also depends on the type of media or the rocks or substances you put inside. Playground sand, only 350. And I looked at the playground full of a bunch of, I'm like, wow, this is a lot of sand, this is pretty heavy. So sandbag training also seems interesting because you're traveling, you get gym membership, whatever, like everywhere you travel to there'll be some sort of park with like playground sand. So when you're traveling, just empty out the sandbag, you could just take it with you, right? Just if you want to work out when you're on the road or abroad, just go find the nearest park and just fill it with sand. Well, I mean, you could also just get a gym membership when you're traveling. But anyways, so the sandbag training is interesting too because by holding it and gripping the sandbag like this, surprisingly, it's actually a really good, like, I guess, tricep workout, which I never really thought about. And I'd also assume that it's better and, you know, helps in strength, improve the strength of your joints, because having to lift a very awkwardly shaped thing forces your body to be creative. And also, like, I guess, grip strength training is also an important thing here. Yes, what else did I say? Yeah, like, essentially, yeah, like, the irony is getting to the Pearson Museum, seeing all the cool cars, almost all the car stuff is kind of like out of my system. So I have no personal desire to own any of these cars because you got to maintain it. The more, like what Nietzsche said, is that the more things you own, the more things own you. Pretty good wise line of thinking. Also, it's killing two birds with one stone. It's like driving to the park. It's crazy. This park is literally like a 5-minute drive from my house, but then the drive back, I guess it's already taking me close to 20 minutes. But the good thing is just vlogging, it's on the iPhone, it seems like killing two birds. So yeah, actually, the big issue is that a lot of people complain. And even when I used to drive a lot, like in the Bay Area, Berkeley days, when I pick Cindy up, this is before Cindy was born, I would just listen to a bunch of podcasts. And that's actually what's kind of re-encouraging me to keep pushing stuff on podcasts, because like 99.99% people stuck in traffic all the time, especially in LA. It's like, yeah, I want to create some sort of media that could hopefully be inspiring or helpful or whatevs. What else? Oh yeah, seeing this Tesla Semi. Yeah, like even actually seeing a deconstructed Tesla Model Y and seeing how innovative they're able to fuse and meld the batteries with the body seemed kind of cool. Even a interesting thought too is more and more. Yeah, I guess the iPhone Pro is a really good idea for photography. The only problem with the iPhone Pro, I mean, I guess people just gotta think about this critically, is that like it gets outdated every what, year, 2 years? It feels like a year and a half now, a year and a quarter, right? So it's like, what's happened to upgrade? So it's actually like pretty expensive. But it's actually a good for it's good for the future in the world of photography, because I mean, it seems in America, people are going to continue to buy iPhone and iPhone Pros probably indefinitely. Yeah, in America, only poor people have Androids or not iPhones and or Samsungs, or get some sort of weird deal at the T-Mobile or Verizon store. Or they're like these weird tech people who want to try to be different by getting an Android and all eventually getting iPhones after a while. This will happen to me. Yeah, so good future for photography, because everyone's essentially starts with an iPhone and then wants to quote unquote upgrade to something better. iPhone is insanely great concept for photography, and I'm all for it. Ultimately, the reason to like I wouldn't just shoot with just an iPhone is I also like this idea of just shooting with built-in apps or built-in native stuff, right? So just like, I don't want to download all these like third-party apps on the iPhone. So the camera app is really good, but like the grain filter, there's no grain filter, and even ultimately the aesthetic of the iPhone, even the iPhone Pros in black and white and monochrome high contrast mode, they're like aesthetically they're just not that beautiful in my opinion. I think the iPhone Pro is actually really good for color photography, which is interesting. So yeah, unless I mean, yeah, Apple Photos team, good idea for you guys. Under a noir, I don't know, make it like a gritty noir, like a super noir mode where you could actually make it super gritty, high contrast, kind of like Daido Moriyama vibes kind of thing. Or even actually the next version is like, you know, the filters to do. It should like, I mean, this is the idea I gave to Fujifilm, and they actually look like they integrated to their cameras, is like have like a Neopan 1600, like a way to simulate pushing your film to increase the grain. So the way Fuji integrated this, and I guess other camera companies too, is you could add grain, low, high, medium, whatevs. So I think the iPhone, the default camera app, should also have a built-in like grain filter strength thing. Could be a good solution. Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah, I've been really enjoying the GoPro Mini. Just, it seems like 1080p 30 FPS seems to be like the best standard settings, I suppose. Might have to get fiber or gigabit internet at the house because upload times are too slow. Even like I'm like using Spectrum, like I don't recommend Spectrum, I think it sucks. And I'm using the most expensive one. They advertise a gig speed as, yeah, maybe the download speed is a gig, but upload speeds are SLOWs. Not fun. Yeah, so check out the Peterson Automotive Museum. Tesla, Elon is still the GOAT. To be able to see these things in real life is very interesting. Also, I think it's just important to think about cars and stuff because it is in American LA and stuff like that, certainly part of our cultural consciousness. So I think the more we critically think about cars, ultimately humans and our human bodies is more important than cars. And you know how sense says Ferrari? Oh wow.